Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So last week, the Trust for America's Health and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation released data that show obesity rates in the United States have risen dramatically over the last 20 years, as if you didn't know. That may help explain why those one tip for a tiny belly ads keep getting clicked on. Have you seen them? The animated midriff that shrinks and puffs out as you're reading an article or connecting with friends on Facebook. Have you clicked on one? Someone sure has, as it is estimated that the ads have taken in $1 billion in what the FTC is now calling a scam. Paul Fari of the Washington Post looked into the way it operates, and he will tell us if there really is one weird old tip to flat abs, as the ad puts it. And we can take your calls if you have clicked on these ads. Listeners, with so many click-throughs and so many people having seen it, these are on mainstream sites, these are on the Washington Post, et cetera, et cetera. Tell us what happened. Did you do it? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or maybe you just want to tell us your one weird old tip to flat abs. But really, for people who've clicked through these ads, 212-433-WNYC. Hey, Paul Fari, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
You found that this is a layered web experience. Explain.
Yeah, there's about three steps here. And the one tip ad, that small, very simple, almost crude ad, is just the first step. You click on that, that takes you to what looks like a health news site. It talks about the benefits of a particular kind of diet. It might be a diet that involves acai berries, which I've never heard of until I started looking into this, or African mangoes, or you name it. So it's a health news site, and then it has links embedded in on that site which take you to a product seller, and that's where they want you to buy something. That's where they want you to give over your credit card to buy the product that was touted in this health news site, which, as it turns out, is a fake health news site.
So on this fake health news site, you see the endorsements and the so-called news report. Then you get offered a free sample if you provide credit card info. But then it turns out you've signed up for more than a free sample?
Well, it turns out that you have, but you don't necessarily know that unless you go down into the fine print, which is sort of in faded gray type in these sites, well down below all the glossy stuff. And what you will find if you go down to that faded gray type is that what you are signing up for isn't quite free. You pay a small shipping and handling charge, which they're happy to disclose, but they don't tell you that there's a negative option that kicks in. A negative option is, we will keep sending you this product and keep charging you for this product until you tell us to stop. And these charges can go on for months and months. And oh, by the way, try telling us to stop and see what happens.
It's not so easy.
Yeah, you get hung up on. You'll get the runaround. This is a nightmare once it starts. It's a hell you can't escape from.
Let's hear one listener's experience. Rebecca in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. It's wonderful that you're doing this because I tried it and I sort of never received any product, so I just never followed up. And now I hear that they may be putting charges on some credit card of mine, so I'm really going to have to...
So not only are they charging your credit card in a way that you didn't expect because you thought you were just signing up for a free sample, they never even sent you the sample, both of those things?
Exactly.
What can Rebecca do, Paul?
Well, there's a complaint office at the FTC, at the Better Business Bureau, and they've received hundreds, including thousands of complaints around the country have poured in. I don't know how effective it is when the Better Business Bureau follows up, but the FTC, of course, has sued some of these companies in an attempt to get them to stop and to send a message to the entire industry. But the industry, so-called, continues to morph and continues to use this template over and over again. And, it's buyer beware, really, ultimately, because you've got to read that fine print and you've got to realize what you're getting yourself into.
Rebecca, thank you and good luck. And there's not just one company behind any of this, right? It's a bunch of little companies placing the one tip to a flat belly ad, then getting a commission on everyone who clicks through to the third page.
This is the remarkable thing about it, is there are armies of people behind this, very small, let's call them entrepreneurs, both placing the ad and then also selling the product. They are in basic confederacy with each other, but there are so many people behind this that it just goes on and on. Let me give you the two forms of this. There are the affiliates who place the ads. They put the money up. They get these ads distributed all over the internet, and they work out agreements with the sellers who will ship you the product or not, as in the case of your caller. And these relationships are all over the country, and in fact, even up to Canada. I think Australia has some problems. Britain, the English-speaking world, this scam is being replicated.
Jackie in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. You clicked through?
Yes, I did.
And what was your experience?
Well, I mean, I'm always looking to see if there's any health benefits to whatever they're advertising, and usually it is a scam. So I've never bought anything. I'm just looking through to see if they are, you know, in fact helping people in a way where they can, you know, reduce the fat.
Uh-huh. And you discovered that it was a scam? You were able to scope it out or what?
No, it's always a scam, and people get taken for their money. The gentleman that just spoke said it all. I mean, he just said it all. He said there's many companies that are in on it. He just said it all across everything.
Jackie,
I mean, we're talking about we want to see healthcare actually happen in this country.
Right, which doesn't mean that people shouldn't be taking individual steps to protect their health, and this is not about health per se, the way it's advertised. It's about having a tiny belly, which, of course, nobody wants to be obese, but, you know, the tiny belly makes it sound more about cosmetics. But, Jackie, thank you for your call. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Paul Fari from The Washington Post about that very ubiquitous web ad that shows the person's belly puffing in and out and says, one tip for a tiny belly. And Paul, we should mention that this isn't just on some obscure websites or disreputable websites. You called attention to the fact that your employer, the WashingtonPost.com, Facebook, lots of other legitimate news sites run these ads. How much vetting do media sites do of the ads that they run?
That's right. Part of at least the credibility of these ads is the fact that they do get on news websites like the Washington Post, MSNBC, et cetera. That's part of the psychological environment, I guess you'd call it, to get people feeling like maybe this is credible. But in defense, sort of the Washington Post, the Post did not take this ad by someone walking up to the ad window and buying it. The Post and other news sites get these ads fed to them, so to speak, by ad networks like Google, run by Google, run by Pulse 360, another ad network company. And this means that the ad placer goes to the Google, goes to Pulse 360 and says, I would like my ad distributed to as many websites as I can afford to buy. The network distributor pulses them out, so to speak. They show up in a blank spot on websites everywhere. Companies like that run these ads, like the Washington Post, receive a cut of the distribution network on the network for being on the network, but they don't really have the capability to say, I at this point do not want to run this specific ad. Once you sign up to the network, like being part of a TV network, you will take the ads that the parent company, the network provider, has agreed to take. So in some ways, the Post is being blindsided. I guess it could say we don't want to take diet ads as a category, but to specifically target individual ads gets a little more complicated.
So another listener's experience, Mallory in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was considering, for the last few days, the possibility of ordering this product, and, you know, just luckily I'm listening to your broadcast. My question is, why can't the FCC stop or pull these ads so that they don't go on and on, and while people are while people are trying to get back their money, people who are running the ads are still reaching out to more people.
Well, it's a great question. And so, Paul, if the FTC, Federal Trade Commission, has determined that this is a scam or a series of scams, and I understand they've sued 10 of these companies that are using fake news pages that claim, and I'm quoting from your article, sites such as ConsumerOnlineTips.com aren't legitimate news organizations, that the defendants can't substantiate the claims of dramatic weight loss, and that the site's operators don't disclose that they have financial ties to the diet product merchants they're linking to. I love the defense one of the companies made, by the way, that no one should take the news stories as nonfiction.
Right.
Unfortunately, that might be said about a number of news organizations, but that's another show. But seriously, if the FTC has come to this conclusion, can they just shut the thing down?
No, they can't. They have processes and procedures, and there's something called the law that prevents them from simply going in and saying you are now out of business. They have to sue people. There are lots and lots of people doing this. There's only a limited number of government resources and government agents to be able to sue them. The private market, if you will, is so far ahead of the government's ability to regulate this. It's like a freeway where everyone's going, you know, beyond the speed limit. You can pull over a few people, make examples of them, and maybe some people will slow down, but you're not going to catch everybody.
Henry in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hey, Henry.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I've always had, and I don't have much good to say about credit card companies, but I've always had good service from them when I had inadvertently bought something impulsively that I realized was a mistake or And I'm just wondering if there is recourse for consumers who realize what they've done wrong to call the credit card company that's carrying this charge and try to get it stopped through them. Is that possible?
That's another great question, because presumably from what we've heard, there are a gazillion people who have inadvertently paid the $80 at least once before they realized that these charges were being made to their credit cards. So, Paul, can the credit card companies themselves be a recourse?
That's a great point. And yes, the answer is yes. Going to your credit card company, complaining, getting a refund that way puts pressure on the credit card company to go to these companies and say, we will stop processing your claims for payment through us because the chargebacks are so high. And in fact, in one case, I think it was Visa, basically shut down this lifeline to one of these companies. The chargebacks that the credit card company was getting were so high that they had to say, something's wrong here. We don't want to deal with you, and we don't want to be your processor. And that's sort of the private market regulating the private market as opposed to the government stepping in.
Henry, thanks for your call. That's a great thing to bring up and remind people of. And based on the number of calls we're getting, obviously, this is touching people all over the New York metro area, as well as lots of other places. So, Paul Ferry, in our last 15 seconds, what happens next?
Well, I think buyer beware, as I mentioned. By the way, the claims of weight loss for a lot of these sites are completely exaggerated and inflated. There really isn't one good tip other than
watch what you eat. Yeah, and this one just came in from David from West Hempstead, who writes, for a flat belly, get off your tuchus and learn
exactly to
ad block. So we will have to leave it there. Paul Ferry, staff writer at The Washington Post, on those flat belly ads that the FTC says are a scam. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.